I want to read some out of Proverbs tonight, quite a bit actually. A few of these things will show the importance or the advisability of being obedient to the Lord and keeping His commandments. I want to begin in the sixth chapter of Proverbs, and I'm going to begin with the sixth verse. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and guardeth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand into sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy wants as an armed man. We know ourselves how the ant does work diligently for all the time that it can, that it is possible. We know that they're working, and that they go out and diligently seek the food that they need. And if you've ever noticed, especially around one of these big red ant hills or black ants, where they make a big hill, you will notice every once in a while you see some of them carrying things away that isn't good, because apparently they bring in some things and it isn't too good, and after they found it out, then they all work diligently to carry it away and to clean up what isn't good. And if you've ever watched them, when one has a job that's too big for it, as you'll see several of them gather around, and I have seen it to where that they just put in their cupboard an item that was much too large for 10 or 15 of them to carry, but they would work together and they would pick it up, and that they would manage to get it to their home and to store it for the winter. But if people worked with the same diligence that they did, they could accomplish an awful lot. But I want to go ahead and read here, and starting again with the 12th verse. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Now, here it's telling us of the type of person we shouldn't be. But if we look around us, I'm sure that we find people that might fit this description. We know people that are unrighteous, and they work at it continually. Here it says, he soweth discord. And that it would be the same as to try to cause contention among people. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and head and hands that shed innocent blood. A proud look, that would be somebody that was lifted up under pride, wouldn't it? And we know a lying tongue, what it can do to the people. And hands that shed innocent blood. Those are three things that he hates. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. People that are seeking to do things that are weak and wicked. And there is people actually that seem to be seeking ways to do things that are evil. We find in the different types of cults, devil worshippers and so on, it seems that they are devising methods that are wicked. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Some people are ready to go whenever there's anything that isn't good. They're ready to seek after that which isn't good, and they're ready to go to take after it. A false witness that speaketh lies. Now that is the same as a lying tongue, isn't it? A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. Now these are seven things. I'm sure that if we started writing a list of things, we could write 77 more in here in just a little while. But these are some of the things that are bad. And if you kind of seek these out, you'll find that they're things that will lead to other things that aren't too good. And this is what happens if we follow after some of these. We know in the Book of Mormon, when people become proud, what happens? And they're lifted up in pride, they start to fall. And it's not long till when you get in a condition like that, that all these other things, a lying tongue, and people that devise wickedness of one kind or another, all of that starts falling into line right quick. Now this is what a person should do. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually on thy heart, and on thine, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakenest, it shall talk with thee. If we have kept the commandments and done that which is right, we know that we would be guided and directed. Now it says it will talk with us. Do you suppose that would be something like a conscience, maybe? And maybe even a still small voice? But if we've kept the commandments, and if we've walked uprightly before the Lord, when we need guidance, I'm sure that the Lord's going to make it known to us what we need to do. Whether it be through our conscience or through a still small voice or whatever it might be. I want to go over into this next chapter and read three verses, beginning at the first. And these aren't a whole lot different from the ones I've just read, or some of them that we heard this morning. But when we read in the Bible, we don't find a whole lot of things that's really radically different one from another, because it's all teaching the same thing. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. and my law as an apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Of course, this last part, I think, is the important thing. We've got to have them in our heart. If we do that, then we've already accomplished most of it. It says there, and my law as the apple of thine eye. That is something that we would be desirous of, wouldn't it? And want to have. If a young man or a young woman says some young man or some woman is the apple of their eye, they're quite choice and special, aren't they? So if the law was the apple of our eye, then it would be something that would be highly desired. I want to go over into the next chapter of Proverbs here and read a few more verses, beginning with the 32nd. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Now this, it says, my children, O ye children. I don't think that's meaning people of teenagers or pre-teenagers. I think that when he's referring to this as children, I think he's referring to every one of us. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You know, lots of times we don't like to have people tell us what to do. But oftentimes I've found that it's wise to take a little instruction. Sometimes we got the idea we know what to do, and if we would just pay attention to somebody, they could make it a lot easier for us. Many times I have been working on a piece of machinery or something, and it takes you quite a while to learn what to do. Someone that had done it before can come and tell you immediately that you shouldn't do this or you should. And then again, I've seen some people that was going about something completely wrong, and you try to start to tell them something, and you could see right now that they didn't want to hear anything. They wanted to do it themselves, and you can't do anything about it. But if we will listen to instruction and weigh them, and if it's good, if we use it, then we're going to become stronger and wiser. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at the gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's pretty important, isn't it? Whosoever findeth me findeth life. And you know, that's kind of hard to tell people that's living, and they think they're doing a pretty good job and having a gay old time. How can you tell them that they don't have haven't really found the life? But if we have done that, and whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord, what a blessing that would be. And what a blessing it is. I'm sure that each one of us, because we have sought the Lord, I know that every one of us here have been blessed many, many times. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Again, a strange thing to tell somebody that doesn't understand the scripture, isn't it? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me loveth death. Rather a strange thing to tell people, but anyone that has studied the scripture knows what he means. They know that if you don't keep the commandments, that you're not going to really be able to enjoy the promises in the life hereafter. I want to go over here into this 10th chapter for a few more verses. When you get to reading in Proverbs here, sometimes you could read on and on and on, and sometimes there's not really much of any place to break into the readings, but there's so much wisdom in these chapters, and if we seek them out, they're going to give us guidance from time to time. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, I'm sure that that can mean an actual son, but I also think that this means mankind also. If we're foolishness, we're not going to make our Heavenly Father very happy. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. What they're doing here is to tell us that we can't procrastinate. We can't put off the day of our salvation. We've got to work at it continually. Back over there in the first part of my reading, it mentioned the sluggard and compared him with the ant. And of course, it's not hard for us to, when we think of that, think of the story of the ant and the grasshopper. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prattling fool shall fall. Here in these proverbs, he tells us things that many of us already know. And as you read through the proverbs, if you read 4 or 5 chapters, you're going to get the same story in a little different way, maybe a couple of times. But it's telling us that we've got to keep the commandments. We've got to follow after the Lord. We can't be foolish. We can't put off doing the things that we need to do until tomorrow or the next day. They've got to be done now, and we've got to work at them continually, and we can't pull back and set and wait and let things go past us. We've got to keep working at it all the time. I want to read a little bit out of the first chapter of Mosiah, the 70th verse. (Clears throat) And now, my brethren, I would that ye should do as you have hitherto done, as ye have kept my commandments, and also the commandments of my Father, and have procrastinated, or prospered, and have kept from, and have been kept from falling into the hands of the enemies. Even so, it shall keep, even so, if ye shall keep the commandments of my Son, or the commandments of God, which shall be delivered unto you by him, ye shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall not have, shall have no power over you. And this is quite a promise, isn't it? If we keep the commandments, our enemies aren't going to have power over us, and we're going to prosper in the land. And we know that people that have sought after the Lord and have kept the commandments in the years that would follow this, this shows to be 124 B.C., on down through time and on this continent, when they kept the commandments, the Lord was with them, and they did prosper, and their enemies didn't have power over them. And if the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I'm pretty sure that that same thing would exist right now. And as we look around, in a way, we're prospering quite a bit in this land. It's a very prosperous country. But yet, right now, it seems that our enemies have power over us. Even though we don't have an enemy that is invading our shores, it appears that many of our people that do not like the United States have great power over us. Sometimes very small countries and sometimes large countries. But, O my people, beware lest there shall arise contention among you, and ye live to obey the evil spirit which was spoken of by my father Mosiah. For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. For if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his own soul. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. And that, I believe that most of the people in the United States can't deny that they have some knowledge of God. And so they're going to be held responsible for their actions. And I'm assured of one thing, or sure of one thing, that all the people of the Church of Christ cannot claim ignorance in any way, because they know what they should do and what should be done. I want to read a little bit over here in the Bible again. I want to read out of the 25th chapter of Matthew. This is a very familiar reading. But these few verses will show what can happen in the last day, and probably will happen. But we have got to work every hour of every day to keep the commandments. You can't let down your guard for 1 minute. No more than if you are swimming upstream in a river. As soon as you start quit swimming, you're going to move backwards. You take, for instance, an alcoholic. He has got to work continually. because he will be an alcoholic forever, but it's, as long as he doesn't drink at all, he can stay away from it, but he's got to work at it every day. It may get to where that he can do it easier, but he has got to work at that all the time to strive to avoid the pitfalls that would be before him. The same as we do. We don't dare let down for a minute. I think that Satan is probably as serious a threat as, of course, alcoholic. I think it's alcoholism and all of these things are fostered by the evil one. We know that they are, but Satan is working all the time to get us away from Christ, day and night, while we sleep and while we're awake. But I want to read a little out of this 25th chapter of Matthew. And this is the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 unwise. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now that wouldn't be a very good situation, would it? Now how could we expect to accomplish anything if we didn't have fuel for our lamps? Be kind of like somebody going to the field with their tractor not taking enough gas to get there. They couldn't accomplish very much. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And this is always a parable that is always a little bit frightening to me, because you notice there it said, all of them slumbered and slept. All the people. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Here, would that be like it? Go build for yourself works of righteousness and do all of these things. But that can't be done at that hour, can it? At that last minute, there's not time to do it. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. That'd be quite a thing, wouldn't it? There the door is shut. Now what are you going to do? Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So it's very important to us that day by day we keep the commandments, that when that time comes, we can't be sitting around like the sluggard was and waiting for something to happen. Expect to be taken in. But when that time comes, if we can't enter in, the door's going to be shut and we won't have a chance to get in. I just, it'd be hard to imagine a time like this, that you would be cut off at that moment. But if we've kept the commandments and if we've laid the groundwork and done the proper things beforehand, we wouldn't have to worry. And you know, I really think that most people have a pretty good idea of whether they're good enough or not. Our conscience tells us whether we've been trying as we could. And I think that each one of us, when we look at everything that we've done, we'll all say, well, we ought to try harder. And if we try harder, we're going to be more successful at keeping the commandments. I want to go back into Proverbs for another verse or two. The 15th chapter of Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How many times have you seen this happen? If we've kept the commandments pretty good and realize that this is the truth, we know that it's lots better to say something kind than to say something that isn't kind. And most of the time it's going to have a greater effect. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. This isn't something new to us, is it? We all know that this is the truth. He can see wherever we are and whatever we're doing. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of righteousness is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the lips of the wise despise. Knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth it not. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth it not. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And that's where we have got to find ourselves. We've got to be to where we can follow after that righteousness and seek the Lord and be blessed by him. When we was traveling probably down in New Mexico, I believe this came over the radio. Anyway, Shirley copied it down, and I thought it's pretty good. A little kind of a poem, or whatever you might say. It says here, a man dreamed he was at the gates of heaven and asked if he could buy some of the fruits of the Spirit. And the angel said, we do not stock the fruits of the Spirit. We only stock the seeds. And that's where we've got to work from. We've got to start out with a little bit, and we've got to grow and become stronger. And if we're going to benefit from the fruits of the Spirit, we've got to start at the bottom and work up. And if we do that, we're going to have the Lord's blessings to be with us. Thank you.